Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers, and $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Fourth and final hour, Darren, Donica, Chase here on ESPN 102.5, the game on this Wednesday afternoon. Hope everybody's enjoying your day thus far. Remember to be safe out there, but you can get out, walk the dogs, take a family walk. Just get out and enjoy the fresh air at some point. Chris Mason, every Wednesday at 1 o'clock, driven by Freeland Chevrolet, also brought to you by Smoky Mountaintops, the exclusive partner of the Nashville Predators. You can visit Smoky Mountaintops. com. C. Mace, what's up?
Not much. Speaking of a walk, my family just they just went for a walk a few minutes ago. So good recommendation. They must have their ears must have been burning.
Yeah, how was it out? A little bit on the cooler side, but nice, huh?
I'm outside. I didn't go for the walk. I had to talk to you guys. They went for the walk. I'm working. People, actually, you know what? I just got off the. I just did a Skype interview with Pecorine, so I got to check in on him, see what he's up to, and talk about relive his goal a little bit. We're going to be re-airing that game tomorrow on Fox Sports Tennessee, so we got to chat about that a little bit.
Wearing that on our airwaves, too.
Nice. That's awesome. And I asked him, too. I said, do you just go look at the record books and just go down the list and say, oh, I don't have that one yet. I better score a goal. So I'll take away the only record that I actually had as a Nashville Predator. And Pex, he went and took that away from me. So kind of hurt my feelings a little bit.
We had some Predators yesterday in the news. Roman Josi has comfortably advanced to the second round in the Jeff Fisher region as a 2 seed. But Thomas Vokoun did go down to Taylor-Lewan yesterday. So we lost Vokoun.
I'm disappointed. That hurts. That really hurts because, you know, and Taylor's a great guy and all that stuff. But when you're comparing, you know, what Thomas Vokoun did for this team and for this city and his longevity and the impact that he had on the team, I thought he was going to take that one. But he, you know, no social media presence and all that, I think, had a factor in it.
Yeah, no doubt. Shea Weber comfortably in control today. Ryan Suter, what was that? This was an interesting one. Ryan Suter versus Jordan Matthews, who joined us last hour. Where are we on the results with that right now, Chase?
Let's see. Let me pull it up. And
at last check, I think it was 65-35. Jordan Matthews?
Yep, 65-35, Jordan Matthews in the lead over Ryan Suter.
And how about Correa and John Henderson?
Paul Correa leads 65-35 over John Henderson.
There you go.
Okay. About that? Yeah, there's what no way Suter is winning. No chance.
I mean, let's
no
just
chance.
Be honest.
I saw that. I'm like, he gone.
You were actually the subject of a Skype call yesterday involving three captains in the Central Division, and the one that we're focusing on is the one here, Roman Josi. And Chris Mason was brought up in that Skype conference call with the media, and here's how it went.
So speaking of wacky things pertaining to you, did you see the Chris Mason video?
I did, yeah.
What did you think?
It's pretty funny. He's come out with a bunch of videos since then. I mean, he did that one of him working out too. I don't know if you know Mace, he's such a funny guy. He travels with us, and I actually played with him for a year, and he's an awesome guy, really funny guy, and he definitely shows his personality on social media right now.
He's probably one of the nicest guys I've ever met.
One of the best teammates you could play with. And like I said, he still travels us. He's such a funny guy and such a nice person.
There you go. Those guys weighing in on our own Chris Mason. My first thought was, did you see the Chris Mason video? And I'm screaming out loud, there's videos. What do you mean singular? Like, what video are you talking about? There's all kinds of Chris Mason videos.
Well, they made me blush. I put that on social media today or on Twitter. And I saw that when I woke up and checked Twitter or whatever. So that was nice of those guys to say that. But that's really cool. And I have fun with it. I got a couple more in the works. Try to keep it going. It's tough, though. You almost need something recurring. It's tough to come up with, new stuff all the time. But I enjoy the process. So trying to come up with a couple more here in the next few days.
You have to compete with Mr. Gill now, too.
Well, that one, oh my God, that one cracks me up. Like, especially to know Willie, right? Like, you guys, like, we know Hal, and to see him talk like that, oh my God, that just cracks me up. The first one he sent me, he's like, should I post this? I was dying laughing. I was like, if you don't post it, I'm posting it for sure. You have to. So that's a great character.
Yeah, I was going to say, has anybody ever seen this character out of Skillsy until now?
No, I think it's kind of based on a teacher that he used to have.
Well, it reminds me of South Park a little bit.
Yeah, oh, it's great. It's hilarious.
That is
good stuff for sure.
So, what? And like you said, yeah, it's tough because there's not really any new news at all. I mean, that was really kind of the first piece, and now there are other divisions, I guess, more Skype conference calls. So players, organizations are now starting to talk. Well, we really haven't had any new news on the hockey front. You just talked about you talking with Pex, and you have people in your circles. I mean, where do you think, and I'm just asking your opinion, because none of us know. I mean, where do you think this is ultimately going to go?
You know, I honestly, we don't know. And I think you just keep doing what we're doing, just trying to have fun with it, make the best of the situation. At the end of the day, that's all you can do, because, obviously this whole thing is out of our control. We can do what we can to help and to make the process better by staying home and social distancing and all those types of things. And at the end of the day, that's all you can do. And but you have to stay diligent with, making the kids do their work and, educating, getting physical activity, going out for walks, and even like taking a shower. Like it's so funny. I didn't shower yesterday, and I'm like, I shaved and showered today to get ready for the interview, and it's a game changer. Like it's one of those things where I don't need to today. I'm not doing anything. I'm just gonna go cut the lawn. But even that, something as simple as that, makes you feel a lot better about your day. Make your bed. I don't know. Those little things that just keep you keep the motor going. I think it's important to really, continue to do those types of things to help your sanity in a lot of ways. But, just make the best of the situation, I think. And, the Skype and the FaceTimes, I think, are great. We do that with the broadcast team. Every Friday we're going to have a happy hour call in, and it's great to see everybody and talk and, reminisce, and that stuff helps a lot.
Chris Mason is with us, talking a little hockey here, a little life as we continue to move forward through all of this stuff. And so I'm curious, Mace, when you talk to Pekka, and I don't know, what we'll actually see on the broadcast, you and he go way back and can talk on a much deeper level than just doing a simple interview about an amazing play in NHL history, the goal he scored. But what's on his mind? How is he holding up throughout this process?
He's the same, It's the everyone's the same in this situation. I think he's trying to stay positive. He he built a little gym in his garage. So he gets up and does that every day. And, you know, just keeping that routine. And he, you know, he mentioned, you know, he kind of joked, but he said, when you get older, you just can't afford to take the time off and let yourself go. And, you know, he echoed the sentiment that he doesn't know when this is going to end or when they're going to come back to playing, but he's trying to, you know, to keep a routine. And I asked him if he's done anything new. I mentioned I started drawing one of an old hobby of mine that I used to have. I haven't done it forever. So I, you know, it's funny, you go back to the things that you used to do and you have time to try new things. And he said he's teaching himself how to juggle. So he ordered juggling balls and he's working on that to work on the hand eye, and just something he's never been able to do. So he's trying to conquer that. So I told him to send me a video. So if he does, I'll get it out there on social media. But he's just trying to stay busy watching shows and all those types of things. And, you know, his message was the same, is just to the people to try to stay positive and keep doing their part. So it's the same as everyone.
Boy, as you say that, I think about what it's like for a goalie and what it will be like for a goalie if they are able to jumpstart a season down the road, even if it's in July, something like that. I know the players are going to want to play if there's a way to do it. And so whether it's July or August or even September, I wonder about the goalies with a lot on the line, right? Whether it's starting off with critical regular season games, picking up where they left off, or even a tournament of some sorts to determine the Stanley Cup winner. How much is going to be on the goalies to jump in and be razor sharp right away? That will not be easy mentally and physically, just with the reactionary position and what's on the line every time you go between the pipes.
Yeah, you know what? It's going to be very interesting. I always, you know, think about when the start of the season comes around, there's always those guys that get off to the hot starts and maybe play above their, you know, average level of play or what they normally at. And there's other guys that are elite guys that get off to slow starts. I remember Henrik Lundqvist always used to be a perennial slow starter, but he would get his game going, eventually be one of the top guys back when I used to play. So it's definitely going to be a factor. I mean, if they're able to get a playoffs, you know how important that position is. You know, they win and lose you games and ultimately playoff series. So, it's going to be very interesting, because I know when you're off, you know, at the end of a season and you go, maybe you don't skate for, you know, 2 months, you get on the ice, you know, at the start of July or something like that. You feel like you have never skated before. It's a different feeling. So it definitely takes time to get your timing back, to get, you know, the ability to deal with traffic and guys coming in, controlling your rebounds. There's a lot of layers to feeling comfortable. But it's funny. Some guys can just do it. They can just put on their gear and all of a sudden they're unbelievable. But I wasn't that type of guy. I needed to ease in and get the reps and get comfortable before I felt I was back to normal.
All right, I have to ask the question here, Mesa. Yesterday we had Thomas Vokoun on. Roman Josi, during that conference call we've referenced, said he's been watching it. Thomas Vokoun said he's watched Tiger King. I know you have as well. Do you have a reaction? Because every time somebody asks me about it who hasn't seen it, I don't know if I can paint a clear picture of what this is like, but it is amazing the phenomenon that this show has had over the last couple weeks.
Well, maybe train wreck is what. I don't know. It's hard. It just opens up your eyes to, you know, a lifestyle that you just really didn't know exist, and how obsessed that they are with, you know, with the what they do and with the other people that do it. Like they knew, it seemed like they knew everything about every other person that had a, you know, a tiger rescue center or whatever, you know, their own private zoo. And it was just, it was crazy. But I don't know, like, where the heck do all these people get their money? Like Joe Exotic at his place, it was $250,000 a year to feed the tigers. And then he's doing, you know, he's putting ads out there, making videos, having a reality show. It was just, where did all the money come from? It was crazy how, just everything about it. I mean, it was nuts. I don't know. I don't know if I can really put into words how I feel about having watched that show. that's about all I got.
Chase, before I pass it to you, I'm going to give one little tidbit here, and Mace, you could comment. We did recently one of these Skype calls for Fox Sports Tennessee. We talked about the embarrassing moment in Vegas where I drank the water bottle and it went down the windpipe, and I could not speak at the beginning of the third period for a few minutes, which seemed like about an hour, and you were trying not to laugh, you were trying not to panic. I've been given the clip, May, so later today we're going to post that. And
yes.
Chase, Darren, you probably cannot remember this moment here, but once you see it, you might have a flashback. But everybody can probably relate when you drink a glass of water or something and it gets you stuck in your windpipe, you cannot talk for about a minute while you try to, no matter how much you cough or try to clear your throat, it just doesn't happen. So we're going to post this clip from January of 2018.
I can't wait. Like, it was just to hear it is actually, you know, I've never heard it before. Obviously, mine was the recollection of it.
Me
and then,
either.
And I didn't want to go back and listen to it after it happened.
Because
that was my first year on TV, and I think now I'd be more comfortable, like, just taking, you know, some of the, you know, throwing some more analysis in there. But I pressed the button and I said, oh my God, Willie's he's choking on his water. I was kind of half laughing, but I didn't know if it was serious. I'm like, what should I do? Should I start talking? And D-Dub said, no, just lay out. He'll be fine. He'll be fine. And then I just respect the battle level though, Willie. Like you came in there and you threw it in. You could tell that you're still trying to get your voice back and all that and get comfortable. And then all of a sudden, you said, sorry guys, went down the wrong pipe there. And, oh man, it was
the wrong
epic,
tunnel.
Wrong tunnel.
Thank God nobody scored. I think Craig Smith tried a shot. He got in a pretty good scoring area and thankfully it didn't go in. Sorry, Smitty. I would have been happy for you if it scored, but I could not, I tried to say he shoots and just nothing came out. Nothing.
Glad he didn't talk about a soccer kick, I mean, in your first year. You
yeah. And the funny thing is, too, is like when we're doing the post game, and we're speaking of those embarrassing moments, like I've always wondered, like, you know, when's it going to happen? When are you going to have to sneeze on live TV or something like that when you're in the cameras on you? But I looked at Willie and he was talking to me in the post game, one of our segments there, and I just replayed that in my head, and I almost lost it. I seriously, it took everything, and the stage manager even knew, and she's like, I cannot believe you held on, because I had to put my head down, and you know when you're in class and you're not supposed to laugh, and you know you're looking at your buddy and you're making funny faces or eye contact if the teacher says something funny. It was like that where I felt like I just couldn't control it. I was going to burst out laughing, and for whatever reason, I was able to keep it in, but oh my God, was that funny.
Willie can remember, this is going way back. Believe it or not, Willie, I have to laugh just thinking about it. Willie used to do a NASCAR hour with myself and Liz Allison, and I don't even remember who was we had a guest or a phone call on, and I don't remember what happened, Willie, but Liz and I lost it, okay? We were checked out. And Willie is over there kind of on an island by himself going, I don't know if these guys are going to help me here, but and he's trying to hold back his laughter. Do you remember that, Willie?
Oh, yeah. Well, of course, I know the least. I know about 1/100th or 1/1,000th of NASCAR compared to you and Liz. So you guys are carrying any interview that we're doing, right? I'm just passing the ball to you guys for the most part. So I'm looking at you guys in a total panic because you guys can't stop laughing. You can't get it together to ask a question. And I'm like, I got to come up with a question. I was like you, Mace. I got to come up with something. What do I do?
Oh my God, that's hilarious. Those are the best.
Oh, Mace, it was just the feeling of Willie just over in the corner. We had this big studio and Willie's just over there like looking at the two of us like, what do you want me to do? Are you guys going to help me here? Are you just going to leave me hanging? Come on. Get it together.
I've had some panic ones too, and when I was doing the radio with Pete, like he has his you know, he's always got a timer. But for whatever reason, he was running like a tad late coming up to the booth. So we're about to go back on for like the second period or something. And he wasn't back up there. So I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, what do I do? I'm like, I don't know how to, you know, I didn't know how to do any of this stuff. I just started doing the radio and I was like freaking out. But he, of course, Pete comes up there right on time, just in time, puts a headset on like nothing happened. So, but I was sweating it. Holy smokes.
Chris Mason is with us, former Predators goalie now, of course, on the broadcast. And my question for you as we go through this Nashville sports bracket, the best Nashville athletes over the last 30 years, tomorrow is the Phil Redison region, and there are several names on this list that you played with. Steve Sullivan is one of those guys, and I look at this team in different eras. I feel like when when Sully, as he's referred to, was acquired and scores the hat trick in his first game. That's when that was one of those first pieces that things started really to change, really started to change for this organization. What was it like having Sully in the locker room?
Oh, it was awesome. I mean, it was a really cool phase, I think, just because, you know, we were always one of those teams that was just scratching and clawing to get in. You know, everybody, the hockey news would do the polls and all the previews at the beginning of the season, and we'd always be on the outside. And, you know, we just had that hard-working type of blue-collar teams that Barry Trotz seemed to be able to get the best out of us, and we'd, you know, find ways to just get in and battle throughout the season. But, you know, when Steve Sullivan, J.P. Dumont, Paul Kariya, when we started getting those types of players, we had the young, you know, young stud defensemen coming up, Shea Weber, you know, Suits, Ham Hughes, Kimmo Tiimonen and Zidlicky, like those teams were good. And it was, you know, it was a large part because of those guys. And when you had the players that had that star power, you know, like Sully and like JP and Paul Kariya, it was such a really cool feeling to see the growth and kind of the evolution of the team to that point. Because we had the 1 year, we almost won the President's Trophy. We had some injuries at the end of the season, quite a few injuries, actually. I think Sully was one of the guys. But
oh, yeah,
that really hampered that, you know, that chance to do that. But it was awesome, because instead of going on the ice thinking, you know, playing the Detroit Red Wings, holy smokes, here we go, we got to play our best game to beat these guys, you know, we were going out there as favorites a lot of nights, and we became, you know, the tough team to play against and the team that everybody was talking about. And it was a really cool feeling to be, you know, in that situation opposed to the underdog all the time, and which was also good, and that was enjoyable, and you always have something to prove. A lot of the players, you know, got our starts. I was one of them because of the situation and the expansion and all those types of things. But it was really neat to see, you know, to be part of those teams. We had some great teams in those couple years, for sure. So it was really cool. And Sully's, you know, he's the assistant general manager for Arizona now, and it's kind of cool to see where the guys have went from that team. And he was definitely a huge part. And just, you know, I was talking about this too, I think, I don't know if it was with you guys, but I'd love to see those guys in today's game. You know, Kariya,
yeah. Oh, that's great.
Sully.
That's,
you know, just
point.
Just without the clutching and grabbing. Like Sully's he's not a big guy. You know, he's got to go in front of the net with Chris Pronger and all those types of guys clutching and grabbing all over the place. I just imagine the point totals if him and Paul Kariya and JP Dumont have those guys draped all over him.
And then another guy I wanted to ask you about as we wrap this up is Jordan Tutu. In my mind, he was the first big, like, most popular player for the franchise, and somebody that the fans really rallied around, you know, being the first of Inuit descent to play in the NHL. But he was kind of that first fan favorite, in my opinion.
Well, yeah, well, he definitely, you know, he took the city and the league by storm when he came in. I remember his first game. I don't know how many people he had with, you know, with Nunavut flag there and everything. And, you know, it was crazy. And, I mean, just the way that he played, it was just the excitement. Every time he got on the ice, you know, he was going to – I've never seen that. He's the hardest hitter I've ever seen, you know, in the NHL, ever. Doesn't matter what league, but he would just go out there and crush guys, and he could play. He was fast, he's energetic, young, innocent, just full of life. And you know, it's a guy that's impossible not to cheer for if he's on your team. But I'll never forget too, like I was on the bench, and this would happen a lot because he was so popular. You know, he wasn't a goal scorer by, you know, he wasn't necessarily a high skilled player. He had a lot of skill, but he wasn't the guy that you're going to put out there in the last, you know, minute with a goalie pulled. But I remember sitting on the bench, and he was so popular that everybody would be a minute and a half, and I'd hear this all the time: "Come on, Barry, put 2-2 out there." It never failed. 6-on-5 goalie pull, they want Toots out there. So he was definitely a polarizing character, and he's a great guy, and he's come a long way in his personal life too, and he's doing a lot of amazing things, helping you know, First Nations people back home and all around the world. And you know, his story with alcoholism and everything. I'm so proud of him, and he was an awesome teammate.
Depending on who you ask, they would tell you he did actually score a lot. Just like I said, depends on who you ask. Last thing, Mace, joke that maybe went over some people's heads, maybe not. The three of us have watched Tiger King. I've asked Willie has. I didn't know that he was looking at or he had been watching Ozark. Everybody I've asked has given me the thumbs up. I'm looking for the next thing to watch. Are you in on Ozark?
Oh, 100%. I'm all in on Ozark. That's,
all in. Oh,
yep.
Okay. All right.
I haven't started season three yet. I was wrapping up Tiger King. Had to get catch up on Walking Dead, but I got to get the right. I just have to get the right frame of mind. Like I got to be all in mentally to start it because it's such a good show.
Okay.
It's awesome. You'll love it.
That's enough thumbs up for me, so I'm definitely going to pull the trigger
nice. And
start it here in the next couple of days. Always a pleasure. Thanks for doing this. Keep making us laugh on Twitter and everything you're doing, and you and the family continue to be safe.
Awesome. You guys, too. Thank you so much.
All right. That is Chris Mason every Wednesday at 1 o'clock. He's driven by Freeland Chevrolet and brought to you by Smoky Mountaintops, the exclusive partner of the Nashville Predators. You can visit SmokyMountaintops.com. More of Darren, Donick, and Chase next on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Good stuff from Chris Mason. Appreciate him joining us. As always, John Robinson talked for a long time today to the media, and currently Mike Vrabel is talking a long time to the media. So, haven't heard from the Titans for a while, and so they are getting all things out today with the general manager and the head coach. Here's a little bit of what the general manager had to say today.
We're extremely grateful what they're doing for the American people and people around the world, and you know certainly people here in our area. So wanted to thank them and let them know that we're thinking of them and praying for them. And then just kind of some broad brushstrokes here. It's obviously been an unconventional off season for us after we left the combine. Got off to free agency and have made some moves with the team. And then we've been out of the building, I would say, for a week, 10 days probably. Whenever that came down, we actually were out a little bit sooner than when the memo came out. So we're working from home. We're doing a lot of web conferencing through the various applications that we can do that. We've got some draft meetings this afternoon scheduled with the coaches, and just trying to do everything we can to try to prepare for the draft and being mindful of a free agency and still working through that a little bit as well. So, that's kind of where we're at. I'm sure you guys have some questions about specific players that we'll get to. So with that, Robbie, let's kick off some questions.
Yeah, Teresa, if you want to give us the first question.
John, as you guys are working through this, how are the preparations for a unique remote draft? Do you try to set up a war room? How do you approach getting that? So that when, because right now draft is still on pace to be held, what are you doing to prepare as a team and an organization to be ready to make picks at the end of April?
Yeah, so that's kind of what we're, all 32 teams are kind of in the same boat. We have access to our database remotely with all of the draft evaluations, the medical information that we have. There's obviously not a lot of timing and testing data for players that either didn't work out at the combine or didn't go to the combine. There's some guys that worked last spring or ran last spring or got measured last spring that you have to kind of rely on that information. But as far as the draft board and the talks, we talk or we have web conferences daily with the scouts. Coach Vrabel and I talk on a daily basis, just about pods of players that we have seen, and we're working through the draft board. We have a draft board within our database program that I work off of, as well as an Excel spreadsheet of the draft board that we're working off of too.
And just
Teron,
to follow up.
Oh, go ahead.
Sorry about that. Just to follow up, have you thought about how it's going to work on the night of the draft? Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Do you communicate with Mike, Amy, Do you do it? Do you anticipate it being a Zoom call or just staying on the phone lines? Or have you thought that far ahead yet? Thank you.
Yeah, no, that's a great question. You know, we're still waiting to hear from the league a little bit on, exactly how all that's going to unfold. And if we can get back into our draft facility, who will be allowed? All of those things, I think the league is working through, trying to get some parameters in place. And if not, then yes, I would assume it would probably be, Zoom or Microsoft Teams or some type of web based interaction with our staff to try to get through the draft. Teron?
Hey, John, a question for you just in regards to the process with it not being able to get those face-to-face meetings. How much more difficult does that make it to evaluate guys who may have off-the-field stuff?
Yeah, no, that's one of the things that I really look forward to in the spring is either going to a pro day or having a private workout for the – the visits that we're allowed to have here in Nashville, sitting down across from some, a prospect, no different really than a lot of other job interviews and getting to know them as a person. So a lot of those questions we're reliant that I can't get answered face to face. We're working through with some FaceTime stuff with some of the prospects and as well as relying on our scouts and the information that they've gathered in the fall and the respective coaches at the colleges across the country to really lean on that information that we have so that we can hopefully make the best decision we can for the team.
Paul Kaharski.
Sorry, unmuting there. John, two for you. Is anyone with the organization tested positive for the virus?
Not that I'm aware of.
And hoping you could get into the Casey trade. Obviously a lot of salary involved there. What did you guys think about the football that he had left in him and how much was the salary the thing there? And then with the money that you got free there, doesn't appear that you've made any kind of move to use that money. What's kind of the plan with that?
Yeah, I think anytime you have a player that's drafted to a team that's performed at a really high level, we've got a ton of respect for. I said it in my statement for Jarrell and his family and everything that he did for the organization. We felt like it was time for us to go a different direction there. And, we were able to find a trade partner in Denver there. And then with respect to the money that we freed up, there's a lot of business that still has to be done throughout the course of the league year. We're ever mindful of that. And, we're working through a couple of guys here at the, kind of the end of free agency, if you will, as well as preparing for potential guys that you want to extend, later on down the road, as well as budgeting for, your IR players, replacement players if somebody gets hurt. All those things have to be taken into account.
Any consideration there to taking on some of that salary in exchange for getting a better pick?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say we explored about every option on that one.
Jim Wyatt, you have a question?
Hey, John, what was the communication like maybe with Derek leading up to using the tag on him? And is your hope that you can get something done with him long term before a deadline?
I met with Derek as I've met with all of the guys whose contracts were going to be up at the end of the season once we were done playing there. Told him we were going to start working on that, which we did. At the end of the day, we couldn't come to, you know, an agreement on that one. So, you know, we used one of the avenues, you know, to keep Derek, because Derek's an important part of our football team. And, you know, I've spoken to, you know, his representatives after we used the tag. And, you know, we want to continue to have those discussions and those back and forth in hopes of reaching some type of long-term agreement. And, you know, we'll kick those conversations off again here, you know, probably before the training camp gets ramped up and going.
John Glennon.
Hey, John. Wondering if you can talk a little bit about where you feel the Titans stand now in regards to free agency, whether you see anything still, significant, if that's such a word, still to come, or do you feel like you've signed most of the players that you're going to sign? And maybe if I could just kind of follow on that, I don't know if you can talk about specifics, but regards to Clowney and Logan Ryan, whether you've had talks with them, and if so, where do they stand?
I would say we're still working through it. We're looking at guys that are still available. You know, there's some guys that are out there and available that we have had discussions with. There's some guys that we haven't. I don't know that we're done, but I don't know that there's going to be a flurry of moves here. You know, we signed, I'm sure you guys saw, we agreed the terms with Jack Crawford yesterday, and then Kamale Correa last night. So KC will be back with us. But yeah, there's still some things that we're working through. You know, I have talked to Logan's representation there. I would say there's nothing imminent in the works. And we have touched base with Clowney's representation too, and just kind of seeing and trying to navigate and work through where that one might be.
Zick, could I get just a follow up on that last one?
Sure.
Just in terms of Clowney, I know he's a guy who's coming off of surgery, obviously, and that's got to be important when you're thinking about a contract. How vital is that? And you know, have you guys been able to get a sense of where he stands physically?
I mean, it's just through talking through with the agent. As far as for, you know, actually getting a medical report on the player, you're not going to have a medical report on the player until he sees your, you know, until he sees your team doctors. So yeah, but I would say that there's nothing more important than the health of the players. You know, their ability to go out and play for 16 games is important, or at least the games that they are healthy enough to play in that they're impactful. So that's definitely an important part of the decision when you're looking to sign somebody.
Terry McCormick.
John, got a couple here. First of all, going back to the draft and the evaluation process, how much more, with the way things are, do you have to rely on what the scouts have brought to the table from their evaluations in the off season, and also just what the game tape shows of a player, since you won't have the chance for many measurables or face-to-face meetings?
Yeah, I think we always try to weigh heavily on what our, you know, our scouts' opinions of the players. That's why we send them out on the road. That's why we have them go visit with the coaches and trainers and strength staffs at their respective schools that they're in charge of. So their information and their input into what the player would bring to our football team is vitally important. But yeah, I would say that, and to the second part of your question, we try to not get enamored with the measurables or the testing results of players. I generally watch the film and watch the game tape and determine try to determine as best as possible. Not that I'm always right. If they're good at football and what role they would have on our team, and then, you know, certainly the measurables, it can lead you to, you know, either justify your feeling of the player. If you think the guy's a really fast player and he runs a fast time, then you're like, all right, well, that one looks right. But if he looks like he plays fast but he runs slow timing-wise, then, you know, which do you lean on? I tend to lean on the tape more than I do the numbers. So I would say the lack of that data isn't paramount, but it's always good to have that. But it's a situation that all 32 teams are in. So I would say that all of us are dealing with the same thing, and we'll work through it accordingly.
There you go. That is some of Titans general manager John Robinson today speaking with the media. He spoke for a lot longer. Also, Mike Vrabel is continuing to talk to the media. So we wanted you to hear some of that, some good stuff right there. Right now I want to talk to you about USS, United Structural Systems, a foundation repair and waterproofing company that has served our area here in Middle Tennessee since 1994, and they've got a lot of satisfied homeowners out there. A lot of you are homeowners out there listening. How about more than 18,000 satisfied residential customers? And if you've been out in the yard piddling around on these nice days and noticed that some bricks are cracking and you're wondering what's going on there, maybe you've noticed some walls bowing, or you've been opening and closing windows or doors and notice that they're sticking, some drywall separating, maybe the chimney is tilting or leaning. Look, all these are signs, and there's a long list of things. If maybe your house is trying to tell you something. And this is where you need to get the experts involved, because most of you, especially me, are not going to tackle projects like this. You need to get the experts out there. USS, they're the experts. They believe in their quality of work. They believe in their reputation and the integrity of their work. To get them out to your house and to get a free estimate, you call this number, 615-227-2275. That's 227-2275. They're locally owned, licensed, and insured. You can always go to their website, usstn.com. And as they say, we guarantee our best. Call USS. Keep voting. 7 more hours in the Tim Corbin region. So far, pretty non-eventful day. But you can change that. A lot of chalk today. David Price in control, 88% of the votes. Paul Kariya, the 8-9 matchup, not really right now serving out as an 8-9 matchup, which is usually a 50-50 proposition. Paul Kariya, 66% of the votes coming his way. Frank Wycheck, the 4 seed, in control, 71% of the votes over Dansby Swanson. Brant Snedeker, who was on the show with us earlier, in control with 62% of the vote right now over Juwan Jennings. Ryan Suter, the 6 seed, currently getting upset by the 11 seed Jordan Matthews, who also joined us earlier. Jordan Matthews, just like MTSU versus Michigan State, has been leading the entire way right now with 70% of the vote over Ryan Suter. CJ2K, in control as the 3 seed, 91% of the vote over Jalen Hurd. Kevin Byard in control, 7 versus 10, not playing out as a close one. Byard with 89% of the votes over Joseph Newgarden, and the former captain Shea Weber with 83% of the vote over Mike Miner, who has 17%. So keep voting at 102.5 The Game, at 102.5 The Game. Keep those votes coming in. The Phil Bredesen region will be unveiled, or well, it's already been unveiled. You'll be able to vote tomorrow, starting tomorrow morning, for that region. All right, what stood out to you guys hearing from the general manager, John Robinson?
Well, I think we got some good insight there on how the process has been altered and how everybody's got to adapt, right, of how to prepare for this draft. And, you know, I think it's on everybody's mind. You know, for example, I know a lot of you probably saw the clip of that Adam Schefter, just the, you know, the emotions that came out of him last night on SportsCenter. And at the end of the day, I think he made an interesting point. The draft, what he's concerned about, Adam Schefter, is that the draft will be at maybe the height of this thing, especially in certain concentrated areas of the country. You know, he lives in the Northeast. He sees what's going on in New York. And I think he's concerned that, you know, late April, we could be really, it may have a different feeling about everything than even we do now, even though I think a lot of us understand the graveness of the situation. But that being said, I do think there is a big upside in being able to conduct business if you can do it while staying in the parameters of your homes and things like that. So I think John Robinson had some good insight on how they're trying to adapt under the circumstances as they prepare for this thing. I think the question came up later, Chase, in terms of, you know, if you had a Jeffrey Simmons type of guy, right, issues off the field. Teron asked the question, you know, how would that have changed? He said it's actually a really good question. He's not sure if he would have been able to get the insight that he was able to get in having that one-on-one personal contact that he had with Simmons. It's a good example.
Yeah, I think that's a very good one. And I think the things that stood out to me outside of what you just said, Willie, you know, him actually acknowledging that they've had conversations with Clowney's people and you know, Logan Ryan, you know, usually, you know, John Robinson's one of those GMs that he plays that very close to the vest. So I thought that that was interesting that he acknowledged that. And it's, I mean, he's putting it out there like, yeah, we've talked to him. And we're, you know, we're having contact, and I wouldn't say we're necessarily done with free agency. I think it's wait and see now before the draft. But that really stood out to me that he was able to confirm that.
And we will play some more of Mike Vrabel tomorrow. We'll hear a little bit more about what the head coach, and we'll also talk to somebody who was there tomorrow on the show, because they talked for a long time today, and that's a good thing. There's a lot to discuss. They've been quiet. A lot of things have happened. Ironically, in the NFL world, they have had news that they could pass along because this is their off season, and they have been business as usual for the most part, you know, with signing players, and they are going to go with their draft as planned. Wimbledon was canceled today. That became official. We were throwing that out there yesterday, that be prepared that Wimbledon is about to be canceled. Real quick, as we wrap this up, I asked Teresa Walker. So I'm going to have you guys end it with this. Willie, I'll start with you. The sport to first jump back into the pool, the sports pool, and say, we are coming back, at, you know, fill in the blank date, is going to be what sport?
I think in some form, hearing from Brant today, I think I might go with Brant Snedeker's thought of golf.
Okay. I like it. Chase?
I'm still going to say the NBA.
So you go with Teresa, the NBA.
Yep.
That was her answer as well. It is going to be interesting, and boy, will we all be excited when that first sports organization jumps up there and jumps out there and says, we're coming back. Mark this date. That will certainly get people excited. All right, that will do it for our show today. Great show. Really enjoyed it.
Great show.
Have a great rest of your day. Enjoy this
weather.
Keep
voting.
Keep voting at 1025 The Game on Twitter. Keep those votes coming in. Have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. Be safe. We'll talk to you then.
Ugh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Bretzky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.